the key, that networking key is unbelievable, because the power that you get from connections, from just one reference that somebody introduced me to, like a bank contact, completely changed my real estate investing career.
All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Atlanta Real Estate Investor. I am excited to be here with you today, and I've got a special guest. I've got Alex Babiev here with us. And Alex, man, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Well, listen, Alex is the founder of Arrol Properties in Atlanta. And I just want to dive straight in, Alex, because I think you've got a really interesting story. And so why don't you give us a little bit of a backstory of how you got to Atlanta and why you decided to make Atlanta your home, specifically when we're talking about real estate investing.
Yeah, sure. So I moved to Atlanta my senior year of high school, and my family basically came out here to visit one of their friends. And this was right before the recession, like 2005 timeframe. And, you know, they saw that they can get like a brand new house out here in Atlanta for $300,000. You know, so we sold our small, like, nasty shack in San Diego, California, that for like $650,000. And, you know, right after my father sold it, that house went to $400,000, $350,000, wow. $250,000. So like multiple people like foreclosed on it. He sold it at the perfect time. So basically, I was only 17, so I ended up in Atlanta sort of forced, you know. But it's been the greatest thing that ever happened to me, because it put me into the market where the past 15 years has been a complete upswing in Atlanta. And, you know, I couldn't have accomplished what I have accomplished in Atlanta, in California, or in one of these other more expensive markets. It's just not feasible with starting off with a small capital.
Yeah, that's so true. So you landed in Atlanta, did you say 2007?
Yeah, 2006, 2007.
2006, yeah. 2007. So then the recession hit 2008, 2009. So tell me, so that was a great time, right? So you're not investing in the market just yet, but yeah. Atlanta hits kind of bottom, gets rocked with the recession. And then, so when did you start your investing career in Atlanta? Yeah, what did that look like?
My first investment that I actually made was when I was 21 years old in college. I bought my first property from HUDstore.com. Some listeners may remember that over there, it was like a government portal where they gave preference to primary resident occupants, not for investors. So I found one bedroom, one bathroom condo for $11,000. And, you know, wow. It sounds like a joke right now, but back sure. then, 2011, these were the prices. I mean, you could get single family homes in Atlanta for $45,000, $50,000 all day long. So I got my first condo for $11,000. And that's sort of how it happened. Then, you know, I bought another one for $17,000, another one for $19,000. So those were just the prices back then.
When you bought that one and you said they gave preference to owner occupants, is that something that you moved into the condo, or did you just say, hey, I'm going to buy it?
Correct. Yeah. I moved in there myself, actually. So I didn't want to pay rent. I was living with my parents and I wanted to be closer to Georgia State University. So this helped me eliminate my commute. That was like, I had to go on the train and go to school. It took like an hour and a half. So this put me basically 20 minutes away from school. So that's why I did physically move into there. I lived there for like a year and then I turned it into a rental eventually.
And I get that. What prompted you to decide, you know, I want to have a rental? Like what made that decision for you?
Growing up here, like in through my high school years and going to college, I would spend time, like I said, on the train back and forth and commuting to go to college. And I would always listen to Susie Orman, Clark Howard, Dave Ramsey, all these personalities on the radio. You know, back then, there were no such things really as podcasts. There wasn't such thing as YouTube. So we literally had like, I think then we had like our iPods. We were in our basically FM AM radio. So
right,
that's who was on the channels back then. So that's who I would listen to and pick up on. And I would watch CNBC and I would read Forbes. And basically, I just got an interest for real estate because literally when I read people's biographies, you could see that the majority of the wealth came from the real estate side. Even if they had a business, they were still pumping money into real estate. My degree that was accounting, finance, and then I got my master's in tax. So being in that field also, you could see the tax benefits right away. You could see all the depreciation benefit. So it was just sort of stuff started clicking as I was delving around that area.
You know, I think that's really interesting because a lot of people, a lot of successful investors, as a matter of fact, I just got done interviewing one not long ago. He's further along than both of us are. He's built a very, very successful business, but he talks about in the beginning, there were no podcasts, there were no audiobooks. I mean, he was just learning as best he could. And so a lot of it was things like you're talking about, but then radio, but then he would also go and meet with people and he would ask to be mentored. He would ask them questions. He would, you know, spend his time trying to figure out and ask them, you know, how are you doing what you're doing? So
that's key right there. So I was always like the youngest person in all the networking events. When I was 20, 21, all the way up to like 25, I would go to every single event. Anything that had a tag real estate on it, I was there. I was at that event. I was talking to, you know, sometimes it is weird sometimes because you're talking, I don't know, to like 40, 50 year old men sometimes, but there are a lot of people who are willing to help. And to this day, right now, these people sort of remember me from when I used to meet them back in the day at all these events. So it's funny, like when we meet and talk, but the key, that networking key is unbelievable because the power that you get from connections, from just one reference that somebody introduced me to like a bank contact completely changed my real estate investing career because they got me a lines of credits that I wouldn't have been able to have if I didn't meet the vice president of this bank. So it's amazing the power. You're basically, I always say you're one connection away, just like you're one deal away in real estate from hitting a home run. You're one connection away also.
That's so true. I mean, and all the successful investors I know, when I started in 2003, it was just like you're talking about, Alex. I was going and meeting as many people as I could. I wanted to learn as much as I could because I knew they were much further along. And what you do find in this real estate community is that people are willing to help. You know, if you come with a sincere attitude of, hey, I'm looking to grow. I love Atlanta. I want to invest in Atlanta. People will actually be generous. They may not give away all their trade secrets, but they'll definitely help you out and kind of get you further than you could go by yourself.
Yep.
And so tell me a little bit more about kind of, because now we do have podcasts. Now we do have access to all of these great things. There's a lot of people out teaching real estate. Are you still learning today? Like, how are you still educating yourself?
Yeah. So it's unbelievable. I mean, I've done over 100 flips. Literally every month or every, I'll see something that I haven't seen before. Now I'm delving into also the commercial real estate space, shopping centers, stuff like that. So that's completely new to me. I've started doing multifamily, small multifamily units, flipping those buildings. That was new to me. I mean, so I feel like there is literally no way to know everything about real estate because the vast diversity of industry to industry, from, you know, senior assisted living to storage units to RV parks. So it's just unbelievable. There's no way to know everything. So that's why I'm constantly learning and delving into like a new podcast or something. Like I just bought a, you know, syndication book from Joe Fairless. You know, he put on like a textbook, basically, how to do it. So it's amazing and unbelievable what you can learn because it's so diverse.
Yeah, that's great. And so talk to me about a little bit about the progression. So you started out with this one rental, this one bedroom, one bath condo. Yeah. And then you said, hey, this real estate stuff, as I'm learning it in college, it's making a lot of sense. Like, this is how people build wealth. What was your progression from that point to, I mean, you just mentioned that you've done 100 flips. Talk to me about, did you continue building rentals? Did you just immediately go into flips, wholesaling? Talk to me a little bit about your progression. Yep.
So the progression went, I started these small condos. You know, I bought them, two of them with a partner. Then I continued going from condos to townhouses to single family houses to a duplex to a quadplex. So it sort of transitioned like that on the rental side. But, you know, what you have to do is you have to generate the big pops of income, which I realize comes from the flipping side. So I basically would do these flips and pump all my money back into the rentals. And that's basically been my progression. And as you develop, you realize that the flipping game is, you know, just a big tax liability for short-term capital gains. So you start to see that the true wealth in this business are owning rental properties. You know, as you pick up on that and see the benefits that you get from owning these rentals, your goal becomes, I want to own rentals. And flipping is sort of just a means to buy more rentals because it's not easy to do and not everybody does it well and not everybody is profitable doing it. So, and you know, I see that a lot when people come to me and try to sell me a deal that they're upside down on. And some deals we've bought, you can see them on the MLS or wholesaler selling where they just blew their budget. Their hard money lender has no more money to give them. So that's been the progression, you know, do some flips and keep buying rentals, basically.
Yeah, that is so true. You know, so talk to me about as you've built your rental portfolio and as you've used flips to fund that, what are the trends? What are you seeing in Atlanta maybe over the past 5 years? Because we all know that the market is incredibly competitive right now, right? Probably more competitive than we've ever seen it. And, but you still have people, Alex, just like you were 15 years ago, you still have people who want to start in real estate. What kind of trends have you seen over the past 5 years in Atlanta?
Yeah, so what we're seeing is compression of margins, complete compression of margins. Like, you know, the material cost is out of control for us on our projects. You know, we used to pay around $250 to $350 for a 2x4. Right now, today, a 2x4 in Home Depot is $5.07 plus tax. You're at $550 for one 2x4. You know, everything has gotten a price increase. You know, we had President Trump who had the China tariffs. So when we were importing stuff, for example, we were paying these tariffs also when we were buying in bulk different items. So the trends are complete compression of margins. So we used to look at $100,000 spreads, $50,000 for renovation and $50,000 for gross profit. Now, you know, there are people, and I see it daily, hunting the deal, basically. And they're going after these margins where they think they can get away with buying something that has a $50,000 spread only. So at the end of the day, you know, you can be upside down very fast because after the realtor commissions, the short-term capital gains, all you need is one thing to go wrong that you didn't budget for. And, you know, you thought you were going to make $10,000 to $15,000 on this deal, but you could be upside down. So for me, for those getting in, I would caution because, you know, do not, if the margins are not there, right now I'm taking it easy on the flip. Like I'll only have one flip right now. You know, usually I have 3 to 4 flips. And the reason is because I'm not chasing it, you know, and that happens because I'm comfortable on my rental side. You know, I don't need the flips right now, basically. And just be careful. If you do, I say right now, like people who I'm mentoring and consulting, if you don't have your crews established, if you don't have your material pricing established, you will get squashed because somebody, you know, people always ask me, hey, what did it cost you to do that flip? And I always answer, it's irrelevant what it cost me because you can't buy cabinets at the kind of price I'm buying. You won't buy granite at what I'm buying. Your labor costs won't be what I'm paying. So you have to sort of you know, look at these people who you see who are showing you their numbers, even on, you know, HDTV commonly gets picked on. And when you see they're doing a flip and if they're spending $50,000, when you get out in the field, doesn't mean you're going to be spending $50,000 because some of these people, you know, work directly for us. So as, and I GC my own jobs as well. So if you are trying to do your first or second flip, and on top of that, the margin compression, you're hiring a GC to do everything. Well, you know, there goes another 10-15% you're giving away right away to what the GC is going to mark up the materials and labor.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and I would just say, Alex, you hit on something that we talk about a lot, you know, in our company at Evernest and also when we're talking to other investors. And we see the most successful investors. You said, don't go out hunting and chasing those deals that don't make sense. And the temptation is to, like, investors want to swing and hit home runs every single time. And so what happens is you start talking yourself into buying something that maybe in the back of your mind, you know, you probably shouldn't, or it's more risk than you want to take on, but you know what? I've just got to do it. I've got to have that I would say, to Alex's point, for all of our listeners out there, it's all about hitting singles and just taking your time. It is a get rich slow business. And now is not the time to probably be taking risk when margins are so compressed.
Yeah, I mean, I always say the first, second, third, fourth deal won't make you rich in real estate. If you break even, make a small profit, you should be thankful. But as you become more experienced and more knowledgeable, like you said, we do come across, I mean, we've had flips, you know, make us $75,000. Our average flip in Atlanta is $45,000 to $50,000. The lowest profit we ever made was $17,500. So that's just to give you a range. So that's another thing. When you see these people putting out these numbers on HDTV, they're making $120,000, $150,000 per flip. I have never seen that. I mean, I have seen right. that from my friends who do, they blow the top and add an addition, a second level, or they add a whole backside of a house. But right. doing a regular rehab, leaving the same footprint and just changing the cabinets, flooring, painting, HVAC, never have I seen those types of crazy margins ever in Atlanta. And that's why I tell people right away, my margins are lowest $17,500, highest was $75,000, but we're always coming in that $45,000 to $50,000. So be careful what people tell you, because I have never seen it myself.
Yeah. And if you're just getting started out, this is a great point. So what Alex has been saying is, hey, I used to be doing three and four flips every single month or at a time. And now I've got one going. So what he's done is he's pulled back, you know, everything's compressed, profits compressed. He's pulled back his buying. He's taking his time. So if you're a new investor, I just want to say, we always talk about don't quit your day job, right? Don't just jump into the market, especially if you don't have a lot of capital behind you. So don't quit your day job, because you can do one flip. You can afford to do one flip every quarter and still learn a ton and still make money and make a profit. I would rather do that one a quarter or one every, you know, 6 months than to over leverage myself and get stuck in some deals that are going to be tough to get out of, frankly.
So let's talk about that, because I come from that background where I worked in corporate America for around 8 years, right? So I always had a motto of get to $10,000 a month in passive income and cash flow. So when I was able to achieve that, that's when I left corporate America. So yeah. There's all of this. I left like 2 or 3 years ago, but all of this is possible building this real estate empire while working. And, you know, I say that while you have that W-2 income, use that to its full advantage, because once you give up that W-2 income, you become useless to these banks. They don't care if you made $500,000 or $1 million. To them, it's inconsistent income. Real estate, right. First of all, these banks still have a sour taste in their mouth about real estate. When you come into the bank and you ask them for a line of credit or anything related to real estate, they already hate real estate investors. And especially if you go to the big guys, Bank of America, Chase, Wells Fargo, you might as well not even walk in. They don't want to see you or hear you over there when you're trying to ask for money, especially for real estate. So I used my W-2 job to its full potential. When I achieved my goal, that's when I, you know, left. But just like you said, it is possible to, I was flipping on the side. I was working 9 to 5 and I was able to create systems and use technology. I would have Home Depot deliver the products. I would email vendors, and it is possible to do flips while you're working full time at a desk job.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and I think that is that's the key, is just like you're saying, like take your time, ease your way out of it. We had another guest on here, Michael Zuber, who has a book out, one rental at a time. And that's how he did it. Like he kept his W-2 job until he built up the passive income to replace his income and replace his wife's. So Alex, you said you've been investing for about 15 years. 11 years. Yeah. Okay. So 10, 11 years. And just over the past 4 years, you've been full-time.
Last 3 years I've been full-time. Yes. Three years.
And Alex is extremely successful. Over 100 flips. To me, that is, you know, that's the model. That's the way to do it.
Yeah. So again, the flips are all right. The true wealth in this business is the rental properties. Yep. Nothing beats the rental properties and all the benefits you get from that.
Yeah. So another really important point from this podcast that Alex is pointing out is, before you get into it, know what you want to do. Like, have goals, So Alex had a goal. Once I get to $10,000 in passive income per month, that's when I'm going to step out. So just, you know, when I'll just be honest, when I started in 2003, I didn't have a goal. Like all I wanted to do was wholesale houses. I was looking for that quick buck. And it took me 2 or 3 years to finally understand that, man, every time I get a bit of oxygen by wholesaling a house, I kind of step back and I breathe. I'm like, yeah, I've got some room. And then, you know, another 30 days and that money's gone. So yeah, that's when I started thinking about rentals, like the importance of buying rental houses. And so really, really great point. So Alex, let's drill down a little bit. You've got some great experience in Atlanta. Specifically, I want you to talk to me about some of the best places that people should be looking for properties in Atlanta. What are some, maybe there's some up and coming areas, maybe there's some developments going on. What are you seeing in the Atlanta market today in 2021?
Right now, you know, we have huge development going on in Cobb County. And I sort of jumped on this tread early. I started with Mableton, Georgia, because what happened was I was booming in Smyrna, Georgia, which for those not familiar, it's like 10 miles away from Mableton. But then the Brave Stadium came there, right? So all of my prices went upside down. So houses that I was buying for 125 to 150 were going for basically 250, 300 even. Yeah. So we identified the pocket. What is the nearest area to Smyrna for people who can't afford Smyrna anymore? So we identified Mableton. And I started doing the first flips there. And to this day, we're still attacking Mableton, doing multiple deals out there, and it's been successful to us. But, you know, I don't like anything personally by the airport, Southside Atlanta. Over there, I invest in Cobb County, Lawrenceville, Lilburn, Norcross, Marietta, Woodstock. Those are basically my specialties. And literally in Atlanta, I've never had a vacancy. Like if something I have goes for rent, it's rented within 14 days. So that's the beauty. And I've had stuff all the way in the middle of nowhere in Cedartown, all the way down to Covington. So the beauty of our market is that if you can identify a good deal, and you will not have a problem renting out the house. Now, some people may have a problem because I see some of these pictures that they post of their rental properties and how nasty they look. But I'm talking about if you do a nice renovation, rental grade renovation, all of my rental properties have granite countertops, have backsplash, have, we make them look nice. You know, we don't say this is a C area. We're not going to do that. So that's, I'm talking about from my perspective, I've never had any vacancy more than 14 days. Everything rents in Atlanta. There's crazy demand, both on the long-term side and on the short-term rental side. You know, so you should be safe as long as anywhere you buy really in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's great. That's great advice. Great insight. So you mentioned Smyrna. And so what I'd like to do is, we talked about this. We were texting last night about potentially kind of walking through some numbers. Now we're going to talk about, this is a flip. This isn't one of your rentals, but I'd love to maybe walk through this property that you sent me last night, one that you've recently done. So this is, and in the show notes for this podcast, I'm going to put the link, the Zillow link to this property, so you can actually see the work that Alex is doing. But this is a house in Smyrna, Georgia, 21 Valley Forest Lane, Southeast. Talk to us about this property, Alex. I'd like to know, maybe even kind of from the very beginning, like, because everybody's always interested. So when an investor gets into the game, into the market, what the two biggest things that they're thinking about is, how do I find houses? How do I find properties to buy, like at discount? And then how do I find the funding? So talk to us even a little bit about how you found this property, and walk us through what you did to it, the renovations, what your mindset was, why you knew it was a good deal, and just kind of walk us through.
This particular area, I did 5 houses around this area, like within a mile and a half previously, when I told you I used to do a lot in Smyrna. So this property, I paid $215,000 for. It's a single family ranch. And, you know, I used to buy, like I said, these houses for around $125,000. But the prices have just gone up in that area significantly. I was willing to pay $215,000 for it, even though I was a little uncomfortable doing that, because previously, looking at my history, I've seen what I paid like within a mile there. So
yeah, All right.
I got this from a realtor. He's like an older guy and he is a realtor and he sold me several houses before. So I always buy, close quickly. I don't do any like renegotiation, nothing. So he's been fair to me and I've been fair to him. So one of his friends contacted him and said they want to list this property. He contacted me, said, I'm going to list it. Do you want to see it before we list it? So I go out there, I see it. It was a rental property for like 10 years previously. And the owner is out of state in Florida. So you can just, it wasn't like horrible, but it was just a rental property for 10 years.
Right.
So
yeah.
We bought her for $215. It was a 3-2. So right away, I started to identify the value. I had a comp on the corner that was a little larger that sold for $380. So my initial goal was to list this for $320. So I bought it for $215. My goal was to sell it for $320. Remember, I say I like those $100,000 spreads. So this property fit into that criteria. So we basically, the way it was set up was it was choppy. It had three separate rooms. It had living room, wall, kitchen, wall, dining room, wall. So we completely modernized and opened the whole entire floor plan, give it that modern open space. You know, previously the laundry room was in the garage. So we brought that inside and created a nice laundry space. We added a half bathroom to the house because previously, you know, you had the master bathroom was sort of had another door to the living room. So the guests were basically sharing the master bathroom. So we, you know, utilized the exact same footprint, interior footprint, but from, you know, after doing this for so long, I can basically walk into a space and visualize what I'm going to do instantly, like within 15 minutes. So we turned it into a 3-2.5. And basically we spent $53,000 on this project. So, well, we bought it for $215. We spent $53,000. Another comp while we were renovating it, another comp sold like right down the street. So instead of me listing it at 320, what I really originally wanted to, I went and swung for the fences and put it up for 345. I felt confident what the market was doing. Now, I didn't just go make up that number, right? I was monitoring what was going on around me and who's selling, the demand, the days on market in Smyrna. That's how you have to do it. And I put it for 345 and man, 30 days and nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Right. And now we listed it Thanksgiving week. So the 30 days put me in Thanksgiving week. Then it put me in Christmas and then it put me in New Year's. So we don't know.
The slowest time.
Yeah. So, but it was COVID. So I was like, oh, people are probably sitting at home. You know, usually I would wait until January, February to boost my inventory out. So what happened on day 29 was when the listing was or day 30 when the listing was expiring, an agent contacted us and said, my client is interested, we want to put in an offer. So literally on the day of expiration, they put in the offer and we ended up closing at 335. So my initial target was 320. We closed at 335. So we made on that deal like 48,000, I think. So again, puts me right in that thing where I say I'm usually making $48,000 to $50,000 per flip.
Yeah. And that is so much of that is just about knowing your market, right? So what could have scared you off before, which was saying, hey, I've never bought a house for more than $125,000, $130,000, knowing your market, understanding what's going on, the trends that are going on, and then taking advantage of that. I'll also say, I asked you to tell us how you found that property. I can't tell you how many investors I know who utilize real estate agents because they are, sometimes they're getting listings that they know will not sell on the retail market. So whether it's been a, you know, if something's been a rental house, we know, we manage a lot of properties in Atlanta, over 500 rental properties. We know what a house looks like after 10 years of having a tenant in it. That's not necessarily going to sell on the retail market. So sometimes you will find agents who will say, hey, I've got an investor who can pay cash, pay it quickly. Somebody who's owned a rental property for 10 years understands the value of that and not having to put money into it to retail it. So I would say relationships with realtors are a great way to find properties.
And like, look at this guy, for example. He made double commission, right? So he made like $6,500 off this deal. So if he would have went and listed it, you know, maybe they would have got, let's say, 220, 225, a little bit more, but his commission still wouldn't have looked like what he got. So a lot of these agents, you know, how I, when I first started, how I used to motivate agents, like I would literally cold call and go through like emails of agents and tell them, this is who I am. If you bring me a deal, you'll get the commission on the buy side, and then I'll let you list the exact same property for me when I'm done flipping it. So, I mean, I still to this day have those relationships where these people remember that, and they made a lot of money off of me doing that. So nowadays, you know, sometimes I don't give them the list side. I keep it in house. But I'm saying when I got started, that's how I used to motivate people. And, you know, it's very powerful because money talks. And when you can offer double commissions, and it's powerful.
That's a great way. If you're trying to buy houses in Atlanta, that is a great way to do it. Cold call realtors, get to know them, especially if you're starting out, find some realtors who are starting out. They're out there hungry. They're looking for deals too. They may come across a distressed property that you can both partner on. And again, the double closing, especially, you know, what happens is you start to build credibility if you're doing really good work. So like Alex is doing phenomenal work on the inside of this house. What does that mean to the realtor? That means when he goes to sell that house, it's going to sell quickly. It's not going to sit on the market for, you know, 90 days, 120 days. And so realtors see that, they understand that, and great way to find properties.
At the end of the day, the real estate community is very small. Like,
yes,
it may seem like there's a lot of people because we're involved in it daily, but at the end of the day, everybody sort of knows each other, or we see each other at these events. Yeah. And so, you know, you sort of become, these houses sort of become your reputation. And so agents sort of pick up on that. And, you know, especially like you said, for them, you're an easy client. So
that's right.
Work with you.
So Alex, kind of switching gears, I know, you know, you also mentor and consult with real estate investors, people who want to get into the Atlanta market. Tell me, what kind of consulting do you do? Like, how, what kind of advice are you giving your students when you're walking them through this process of investing in Atlanta?
Yeah, sure. So I have people contact me from various referral sources, or they come across me on Instagram, social media, my website. So my typical client, I can't put them in one bucket because I have doctors who reach out to me. I have people who want to leave their W-2, people who want to build out a rental portfolio. So what that leads to is I have to specifically work with each person. So right now, recently, in January, I worked with a husband and wife who basically were buying their first rental property, and they hired me to analyze the properties with them that they were coming across, and then go inspect the property with them. Even though they did an inspection, I still went with them, tell them what we could do, because an inspector tells you what's wrong. He doesn't tell you the vision and what you could do with the
property. Right. Yeah.
So then after that, my company did the renovation for them. And after we did the renovation, I got their system set up. I've set them up on how to do the leasing, how to do the property management, what software to use, what clauses to put in their first lease, you know, because some of the can miss a lot of things, you know. So that's the type of thing. So then they were able to find their first tenant, and he's living there, and they're happy, you know. Basically, I sell my time in bucket and 6-hour buckets to people, and they really use it how they want. You know, some people do a Zoom call, and because everyone's at a different level, right? Somebody has $2 million and they're asking me a completely different question than somebody who has, let's say, $50,000. So that's why I sell sort of buckets of my time, and people sort of do what they want with it and get advice how they need to.
Well, that's great. And Alex, this has been great. Listen, I appreciate you spending time with us on the podcast. You know, we'll probably come back to you and ask you to be on another show. Would love to break down even more deals. Would love to talk to you more about rental portfolios and how people build those out, to dig into that. So Alex, we really do appreciate you being on the show. And how can people get in touch with you if they wanted to reach out to you? What's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Yeah, so if you're interested in seeing my work, my before and afters, and follow my real estate journey, I'm pretty active on Instagram. So my handle there is transformation_poppy, Transformation Poppy. So my website is my name, alexbobbym.com, and my email is alex@aralproperties.com, A-R-A-L properties.com. And you know, when these meetups and everything start up again, I host my own local meetups once a month. It's free. Like 40 to 50 people gather there in Norcross, and it's just different investors networking. And you know, that's on my website also. You can sign up to get the notifications when we meet in person, come out for free and enjoy time with other investors.
Awesome. That's the way. Listen, if you're in Atlanta and starting out, you got to start going to these meetings once they start back up again. So, Alex, we'll have all this information, your contact information, on our show notes. Listen, man, we appreciate your time. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much. See you on the real estate battlefield.
That's right. See you on the real estate battlefield. All right, everybody, if you have not already subscribed, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast and then share it with your friends. And if you enjoyed this episode, please go and leave us a 5-star review. Talk about what you enjoyed on the show. It helps other people find our podcast. So we will be back in 2 weeks with another episode.